Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy. If you're here today and this is your first time here, we welcome you. We're going to have a little bit of a different service today. You might be like, it's already different. I won't be back. But we like what's happened thus far, and we like more of it. But worship was good, right? Worship was really good. What was what word? For who? Anyway, so people be trying to get prophecies. It's pretty funny. You feeling good? Man, I'm so excited to be here right now. So free in here. let me kind of catch you guys up on where we're at. I'm going to read a scripture first. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 20. 1 Timothy 6 in verse 20. 1 Timothy 6 verse 20. If you're not sure where that is, go to the T's in the New Testament. All the T's are together. 1 Timothy 6:20 is at the end of 1 Timothy. Paul, of course, is writing to his spiritual son, and I found that first things are holy to the Lord. I also have found that last things are very important. And so in the scriptures always start with a greeting and a blessing, but often what you see at the very end is very important. If you remember, Jesus Christ came, walked the earth, and did a whole lot of amazing things. He died. Came back from the dead, yeah? And then he just spoke a little bit. The little bit that he spoke when he walked the earth as the resurrected Jesus is vital. There's large movements in the church today that want to discount everything he said in that part. They want to say the part that Jesus spoke as the resurrected Messiah. Now, before that, nobody could be even saved. So you could even argue, and I don't want to stand on this too solidly theologically, but you could argue that up to that point, he was only speaking to unsaved people. Yeah? When he rose from the dead, people could be saved because there was a Savior that had been sacrificed. Right? You're with me, right? And so what he talked about after his resurrection was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Stay in Jerusalem till you are anointed, till you receive power from on high. Wait for the gift, right? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. So that's all he talked about. Look, I've risen for the wait for power. This is my message. I'm just giving an example. Wait for power. Whole parts of the church now don't think there is a need for Jesus' resurrected message, which is crazy. Anyway, that's what he summed up his ministry as at the end there. But Paul, of course, is talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And this is the last thing he says to him in this message. Now, you got to remember, he couldn't just Skype him when he wanted to have a conversation. Right? He wrote a message. Someone had to carry it, take a boat. Hopefully we get there this year. Maybe get there next year. There's no follow-up question. There's no comment section. Right? And so at the end, he sums it up this way. We're going to start verse 20. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. How many of you know those people right now? People have listened to nonsense, and by preaching the nonsense, they've swerved from the faith. It's pretty clear cut, right? And so Paul tells Timothy, listen, you got to guard the deposit on the inside of you. I want to talk today a little bit about how we guard the deposit on the inside of us. You see, if you have encountered Jesus, Jesus gave you something. It's impossible for Jesus to show up and not leave gifts. He's a gift-giving God, amen? He is a gift-giving God. He gives freedom, he gives revelation, gives joy, gives peace, gives righteousness. And here we are in our We Are Revival Life series talking about who we are as a house. I want to talk today about how you protect the gift that Jesus has given you. Let me back up a little bit, kind of tell you where we're at this morning. Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but this morning there was a great freedom in the house, amen? Last week, we had a fair bit of warfare. Anybody notice that? And notice the warfare that some people have been in the last couple weeks. We're not a warfare church. We're not a look-for-demon church. We're not a, you know, let's accuse the devil of everything. Oh, the lights are flickering. I smell a demon. No. Probably need new cables. You know, it's just not that complicated. Finances are down. Must be a demon. No, people need to be taught. You know, it's just, we don't want to get too super spiritual, but there's been warfare. You have to be able to recognize warfare when there's warfare. Amen? We've had a little bit of warfare. If you haven't heard about this already, if you've seen yourself a little more moody than normal the last couple weeks, little fights among couples, people having a hard time keeping check of your emotions, that's part of what's happened the last couple weeks in this warfare. Anybody feeling that? Anybody notice that? So we began to inquire of the Lord, what's happening? What's happening as a house? What are you trying to teach us, Lord? And the Lord began to talk to me, and I called a prophet, a friend of mine who lives in Canada, a mature prophet. He's been, you know, there's prophetic people, and then there's prophets. We got a bunch of prophetic people in the house. This guy's a prophet. He's been a prophet since before I got saved. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he's not wondering, well, I feel like God is saying, you know, he's like, I talked to the guy, and he's like, I'm not gonna mimic him. It's pretty funny, but prophets are eccentric people. Have you noticed? They're a little eccentric at times, and he's eccentric, and he began to tell me about the spiritual warfare this house had been going through. And without going into details, basically what he said was there was a spirit of accusation that had been unleashed upon the call of this house because certain things are lining up right now. We're about to come into something significant. The enemy wanted to kill it as a baby. Try to murder Jesus as a baby. Try to murder Moses as a baby. And the enemy wanted to kill the vision over this house as a baby. That's why the enemy goes after the teens so wickedly. That's why middle school is such an important time of parenting. Because as a child comes into their identity in middle school, the devil wants to give them an identity. That's why it's important as parents that you're constantly speaking life and identity into your children's life. They need to get it. They're going to get it from someone. Where do you want them to get their identity from? Their heathen friends? I mean, where do you want them to get their identity from? TV? Good Lord. I hope not. Oh, you'll get it from me. I gave you an identity when you were born. I gave you a name. It means something. I'm going to prophesy over you, especially through your teens. So we got this word about this warfare that's happening in the church, and I don't want to go in depth on this, but what was said was, which I found so interesting, was it was a spirit of accusation that had been unleashed, and this accusation was rooted in bitterness. And we talk a lot about walking in forgiveness. We talk a lot about walking in humility, and this is the opposite of that. This bitterness and accusation basically says, my problems are your fault. My problems are your fault, and if you don't change, I'll be stuck in my problems, and I need you to feel as bad about my problems as I do. This is kind of, if I could say, not in my household, but this is what I have seen teenagers major in this. Yeah? Teenagers are the moodiest. Good Lord. There's warfare, chemical warfare happening inside of them all the time. Like at one point, their body's normal, and then like one hormone turns on and it just floods. Like, who are you? Come out. Come out. What is that? I don't know what I did. Just tell me. When people don't graduate from that, we call that immaturity. When people behave like a 14-year-old at 24, we call that immaturity. Because maturity means I now can control my own emotions and my feelings and my behavior and my words. That's what maturity looks like. A mature man says, I am in charge of my area right here, and how I behave is determined by who I am, not by what you do for me. And a mature woman says, I don't use my flesh to get favor. I use who I am in Christ to get favor. A mature woman knows that she is far more valuable than how she looks in a mirror. A mature woman says, God gave me a brain. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to control my destiny, right? And I'm not going to manipulate anybody to do it. And so immaturity says, I learned in my teenage years that when I'm angry, people do what I want to do, and I haven't stopped. Or I've learned in my teenage years that my curves give me favor, and I'm not going to stop doing that. And that's immaturity. Maturity says, I don't use my physical body to get favor or pressure. Amen? And so this spirit of accusation, what it does is it says, my problems are your fault, and I'm going to make you feel bad until you do what I want you to do. And I'm going to tear down any favor you have so that I can get a little favor. It's demonic and it's wicked. It's evil. It's not God. And I feel bad for people who are stuck in that realm because it's not a happy life. When you're unable to celebrate other people's victories, you're in bondage. The enemy does not want you celebrating other people's victory because you get what you honor. You get what you honor. And so if the devil can get you to not honor God, then you don't get God's gifts. It's pretty simple, right? I mean, it's not complicated. And so it's our job as believers to usher in the glory of God. Recognize the glory, honor it, receive it, and make a place for it. That's why Ron got that vision about worship. As we began to worship Jesus, freedom came. Well, as we honor God, his freedom comes into the room. You can't live a life honoring God and walk in bondage. It's just not possible. It's not possible to be in bondage while living a life honoring freedom. But I'll get back to this in a moment. I had a visitation of the Lord. The Lord showed me in this house that he's releasing authority in the spirit realm. Hear what I said there. I didn't say he's giving me authority. He's releasing authority in the spirit realm in this house. He's releasing authority. And the way the enemy, who knew that was happening, the way he kept you from walking in that authority is to get for you to not honor authority. It's pretty simple, right? If he can get you to dishonor authority, then you don't get to walk in authority. You see that? I hope y'all are getting this. When Ron was doing the offering and he cracked open, he referred to the book of Malachi. I have to admit to you, if you've only been in part of this house, you don't have any idea what I'm about to talk about. But if you've been around church for a while, anytime you hear Malachi going to get cracked open during the offering, my spirit begins to tense up a little bit. Like, is it the curses? Are we going to hear about the curses if I don't tithe? Are you going to curse me if I'm not giving? Oh, like I'm, this perversion of the word has got me a little, it's kind of brought a film over my eyes to the blessings that are in Malachi, which is what the enemy wants. The enemy wants us to see the promises of God and be scared of them. As opposed to, there's a great blessing that comes from God when I have my finances that honor him. When I honor God with my finances, then I receive blessings in my finances. The message in Malachi has nothing to do with curses. It has to do with how God wants to honor our faith. But if the enemy can make you scared of that, then he can block you from that blessing. Anybody, you hear what I'm talking about? And I've been in churches, let me back up. I have seen teachings on honor that look like this. If you don't recognize who you're supposed to honor, the one person you're supposed to honor, if you don't recognize that and honor them, then you'll be cursed. And I'm not excited about that teaching at all. Because my Bible says we're supposed to honor all men. We're supposed to honor God. We're supposed to honor the gift of God in everybody. And so if I can pervert that teaching that says all your honor goes to me, and if I can pervert that to where you reject it, then you reject all the blessings that come from honoring people. You see how the enemy works it? Just like he tries to kill the children. He tries to kill the baby revelation so you can't walk into the greater revelation. Are you with me? Is this sailing over you or are we getting this? Am I being articulate? Am I communicating this? And so what we want to do is we want to teach a message that is biblical so we don't pervert the gift of God and make it so that people can't receive it. We know in Habakkuk 2, he says that the earth, it's God's desire that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. It says that it will be filled with the knowledge. Say knowledge. The knowledge of the glory of God. It doesn't say that we're supposed to pray that the earth would be filled with the glory of God, because he's already here. To say that we need it to be filled with his glory is to say that it's not here already. And then we kill that whole revelation as a baby. What we need to do is recognize the glory that's already been revealed. Isaiah 43 tells us that we were created for God's glory. And if we're created for God's glory, and God wants the knowledge of the glory to be revealed, then it's our job to learn about the glory, to recognize it and honor it so we can have more revealed to us. Right? I'm going to talk parenting again to try to give an illustration here. Those of you who have small children know that at times their egos can be very fragile. Right? And they want to show you something. Let me say this also. Wives, sometimes, you know, your husband's egos can be very fragile. Even more fragile than your children's. And they'll show you a little project that they did. And they really want you to treat them like they're a small child and tell them how awesome it is. I'm trying to learn guitar. And when I'm playing guitar, when I'm done and I ask my wife about it, all I'm looking for is, that was amazing, the glory of God just came in the room. That's the only feedback I'm looking for. I'm expecting when I'm done playing, whatever it is I'm playing, I'm expecting her to say, wow, I almost couldn't see through the cloud of glory in the room. That's pretty much all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for, was that Amazing Grace or was that, what exactly were you playing? No, that was Hillsong, honey. Oh, no, yeah, that was my second guess. No, I'm not looking for that at all. Because what we found out is, while we're supposed to be mature in our emotions, when small children and fragile husbands, when we share a little bit of what we have, if it's not received with honor and thanksgiving, then we don't want to share more. Right? You begin to guard yourself. You don't want to share more. Right? Now, if somebody says, man, that's amazing. Oh, honey, this painting is, I mean, when your four-year-old gives you a drawing, I mean, you say, well, this is neat and all, but explain to me your color palette, because I don't really understand why we have pink and brown here at the same time. Maybe you should look at some of the masters and how they picked out colors. And I don't know if you know this or not, but this is mostly scribble in this area right here. This isn't actually drawing. I don't know if you recognize that or not. I mean, are you dumb or is this just bad? Which do you not have talent or which? Did your teacher tell you to do this? Because obviously she could be as dumb as you are if that was. How many know that's not encouraging? That doesn't make me want to share more of my drawings with you. And it certainly doesn't encourage me to continue drawing. Right? What we're expecting is, man, that's I see what you're trying to do here. This is amazing. Now, who exactly is that? Oh, that's me. Oh, that's awesome. And what is that dog next to? Oh, that's mom. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. Oh, she's nap. Oh, no, I saw that. And what's this? Oh, that's you. That's not a butterfly. Oh, that's amazing how you did that. We want to encourage them, right? Right? We want to encourage them. This is just natural, right? Let's move this into the supernatural. Say you want God to reveal more glory to you. What do you do with the glory he's already revealed? Do you say, well, that was good back then, but what you got for me now? Has that glory gotten stale? Yeah, I remember you saved me, but, you know, whatever. What about now? How come you didn't come through on this? Oh, yeah, that was good and all, God, but it was a little sloppy over here. I wanted something a little bit better. You hear I'm going with this. Romans 1:21 says, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but. Oh, that's a bad one right there. But became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What happened? How did their foolish, we're at Romans 1:21. How did their foolish hearts get darkened? They knew God, but they did not honor him as God. When you honor God with what he has done, it is a pipeline of revelation and glory revelation in your life. It's a pipeline of blessing. It's a pipeline of God revealing his nature. The more you celebrate what God did and what God is doing, the more God reveals to you what he's doing on the earth. the more he reveals to you what he's doing, the more faith you have that he's going to reveal more. Therefore, you can give him glory even when you don't see things necessarily right now that are worthy of glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our foolish hearts get darkened when we reject the glory of God, when we don't honor the glory of God, when we don't continually give God honor in the things he's already done in our life. I got saved in my mid-20s, and God rescued me from my sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody experienced that? Has anybody gone from darkness to light in a radical way and say, I don't even recognize the person I was anymore? You think about things you did before salvation, like I'm almost embarrassed to tell people because that's just so crazy. If somebody came to me and told me they did that, I'd be like, you did what? But then it was me saying it. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? If God never did anything else for me for the rest of my life, that's enough to give him praise every day until I pass on to glory. I mean, that is enough for me to give him praise until I pass on to glory. Just that I've been rescued from that sin and stupidity. This cycle of stupidity, this cycle of depression and frustration and lack of fulfillment. If he did nothing else, he'd still be worthy every day of my life to wake up with a song in my heart and a praise in my mouth. Amen? But yet, since then, he's continued to reveal his glory to me. Continually, he revealed his nature to me. He continued to bless me. And so, how do we keep that blessing train rolling? We keep the glory train rolling. We keep the honor train rolling. We keep continually giving God honor for what he has done, and we recognize what he did so that it keeps happening. It's important to recognize that God's nature and his actions are inseparable. Let me explain that. When you do something stupid, you don't want people to view you as stupid, right? You're like, that's what I did, but that's not really who I am. That was a mistake, right? When you sin against somebody or you do something really dumb, you make a mistake at work, or even if you were in a bad mood, you did it on purpose, but you're like, wow, that was dumb. You don't want to be known for that thing, right? You don't want to be like, don't, just because I did that, don't, that doesn't mean, that's not the totality of who I am, right? That's what we like, right? God is not like that at all. God never makes a mistake. He doesn't have a bad day. He didn't slip up and start acting like somebody else. He wasn't frustrated and then did something out of his character. Everything he does is a representation of who he is. Do you understand that? Everything God does is a representation of who he is. Not a single thing he's ever done that's been out of character. Are you getting this? When God blessed you that day that he saved you for no reason at all, that is the God who saves people for no reason at all, who blesses people regardless of what you have done. He's still a blessing God. And the day that you were in sin and he did not hold it against you but forgave you, the moment you asked for forgiveness, that's who he is. That wasn't one day. There wasn't a long line waiting to repent to him. And he was only sure, oh, it was only you. Okay, I'll just go ahead and forgive. No, that's who he is. He instantly forgives. That's part of God's nature. Has he ever come through for you financially? That's who he is. He's a blessing God. He loves to rain down riches from heaven. That's who he is. Has he ever used you in the supernatural? That's who he is, a God who chooses to affect the earth through his people supernaturally. You understand? You cannot separate what God does and who God is. People say, not your hand, Lord. I just want to see your face. His hand is who he is. Not your hand, Lord, just your face. We don't seek you for what you can do, but just who you are. What he does is who he is. And if he decides to reveal himself by showing up in your prayer life, that's no different than him showing up in your finances or showing up in your friendships or showing up in your health or showing up in your church or showing up in your deliverance. He's the same God who can manifest however he wants. That's why we call him God. I can't imagine my son or my daughter or my wife saying to themselves, you know, I'm a little lonely right now. I sure would like some love, but I don't want my husband to show me love. I just want to see him. That's just stupid. I love you, honey, even though I'm not, you know, home or spending time with you or, you know, paying the bills and, you know, telling you anything. But you just have to know that that I love you. That's a recipe for a bad marriage. In a good marriage, there is giving and receiving of honor, of blessing, of love, of affection. Bad friendships are you do something for the other person all the time and they do nothing in return, right? That's a bad friendship, right? Get out of those friendships. Healthy relationships are it's my desire to bless you and it's your desire to bless me. And so we say to God, God, you be the God, but I'm going to tell you how you're going to reveal yourself to me. Not your hand, just your face. I don't even know what that means. Not your hand, God. We don't seek you for your hand, for what you can do for us, just your face. So you're telling me if you see the face of God, it's not going to do anything for you? What might happen in your prayer time if God showed you his face? You think something might happen? There's just stupid prayers out there. That's just a dumb prayer. Don't pray that prayer. What that says is I'm unworthy for God to bless me. And you know what? You are. Get over it. He's a good God. And you don't determine who he is. And he's a blessing God. He's a giving God. He's a loving God. Oh, my God. I'm running out of time. All right. Check this out. Oh, I didn't set my watch back. I was scared. I was like, okay. Thank you for coming to Revival Life Church. If you love Jesus, second chair. Ah, they laugh, but that means I have another hour. Now the preacher laughs. All right. Second Corinthians 3 says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord. Just your face, Lord, not your hand. Well, you see his face, you're going to be transformed, and that's a blessing. God's like, if you just see me, you'll be changed. Just me showing up changes things. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a commotion. He couldn't go nowhere without something happening. He just shows up. Oh, I'm just here to chill at the wedding. Oh, you need wine? Just pour some. Oh, it's wine now. What do you know? He didn't, the miracle of the wine, it's not like he spit in the wine. He didn't bathe in the water. He's like, just get some water pots. Oh, look, it's wine. Yeah, that's just who I am. You know, they say Jesus never went to a funeral he didn't wreck, including his own. You know, he's just like, I'm just here. Things are going to change. And as we behold him, we're transformed. How do you behold God? It's like, I haven't seen him. You begin meditating on what he has done. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If you meditate on what he has done, you're beholding the glory of God. And you're being transformed as you meditate on those things that he's done. Does this make sense? It's pretty simple, right? Now, there is a Leviathan. That's the only way I can put it. There is a demon spirit. There is a power. We'll call it even an attitude. You can put whatever name you want on it that wants to block that revelation that says, things aren't going well for me, therefore I don't have to meditate on good things. I'll meditate on good things when good things are happening. And I'm here to let you know that is the cycle of Satan to keep you in bondage. There is a cycle of oppression and there's a cycle of lack, and at some point you got to break out of it. And it's not God's job to say, okay, you're in a cycle of lack thing. You're depressed and you're only seeing negative things, and so only negative things are happening, so you're speaking negatives. And here's what I'll do. I'll come in with my glory to break your cycle. That's what we want. That's what we want. But the Bible says his glory has already been revealed in the creation. That means everybody in this room has glory to meditate on. And as we meditate on the glory revealed to us, we break that cycle. That means at some point you got to get involved in breaking the depressing negativity in your life. I'm going to speak now about what I started with. Your problems are not my fault. Not your mama's fault because she didn't, kiss you 8 times on your third birthday. It's not your neighbor's fault because they played music too loud, or your teacher's fault because they didn't recognize. It's not your mama's fault. She didn't give you good hair. You know, it's. If only my daddy was taller, then I wouldn't be the short one in the class. Then I would be happier because, no, it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. You have to own your life. My future belongs to me. I don't give that to anybody else. My freedom belongs to me. I don't give it to anybody else. How do I break out of this cycle of negativity? If you're one of those people who has a gift that you can always see the negative side of things, no matter how good things are going, you can find the one way that's not going well and let everybody else know about it because they didn't see it. Oh, I know you think we're having a good time. However, oh, look how happy she is. Apparently she forgot when she said this, you know, like, that's not a gift from God. That's an evil spirit that wants to keep you from walking in the glory. You're like, but they're not nice to me. Oh, okay. And so now you're walking under oppression. Are you happy? At some point, you got to stop caring what other people think about it and just say, I'm getting my breakthrough. I don't care if everybody knows that I'm not happy or not. I'm getting my breakthrough. I don't care if I'm not getting the recognition for the depressing life that I have. I'm getting my breakthrough. I don't need everybody else to know how miserable I am. I'm getting my breakthrough. You get what I'm saying here? At some point, you have to say, I'm breaking the cycle. I'm going to begin watching my words and making sure what I meditate on brings glory to God, because I need more glory. Because where there is glory is where there's freedom and prosperity and happiness, favor. If I ask you to give a testimony this morning, come on up here. We're gonna have some things. We're gonna release some testimonies. Ha. Come on, quick. Rapido. Y'all can just chill for a minute. I called you up here, but I don't know when you're going to talk. Don't be distracted by them, okay? Okay, so back to what we talked about originally. Talk to the prophet. The prophet says, there's been a spirit of accusation released. Now, I don't get into all this, you know, spirit of this, spirit of that stuff. But I felt it, and it was ugly. And he said, this is what you need to do. We're going to do the final step today, which is funny because I'd already planned on. Oh, look at Sam. He may or may not talk. This is good. It's anointed up here, right? Yeah? You good over there? Yeah. There's power. Basically, he said, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to recognize that there's accusation coming against you and that there's been agreement with this accusation. You need to call it out. So we had a leaders meeting Friday night, kind of went over some of this stuff with them, and we just began to reject the accusation being spoken against us. We then had prayer Friday night, and we talked about this. We rejected the accusation. We identified the agreement. And then, this is really important, we began to repent. Because generally, the accusation against you, there's a grain of truth in it. There's generally a grain of truth in it. That doesn't make the accusation okay. There's a grain of truth in it, but what the enemy wants you to do is completely reject the accusation so that you never repent of what you've done wrong. Like, oh, if I repent, that means everything they're saying is right. No, if you repent, that means you and God are good. You know, if you're mad at me for something, and I say, oh, well, that thing you said right there, no, that's true. All this is, I don't receive none of that. I'll go ahead and repent of this right here. Oh, but they're going to think that they're, I don't care what they think. That's between you and God. I'm going to be right here. You can walk in curse and judgment and bitterness. That's on you. If you like that, keep it. You can have all of it. I got some old of it that I'm getting rid of. You can have that if you want to. I don't want any of it. If you want to specialize in accusation, you can have it all. I don't care. It means nothing to me. You're not my God. That's my God right there. Amen? And so we just began to repent. Listen, Lord, we've not done everything right. Please forgive us for the things that we've not done right, the things that we've come up short, that we failed to walk in grace. Forgive us as a house. We forgive others that disappointed us. We just release it all, right? So we stood on this ground of repentance, and then we began to rebuke the demon of Christian witchcraft. Christian witchcraft, what's that? You as a believer have power. That's why God wants you to meditate on good things. When you get the power that God has given you and you agree with evil, you're releasing evil. That's why when you're around a complainer, you get depressed. The Bible says it's better to sleep on the roof than with a complaining woman. And all God's men said, I would rather live on the roof than with this being unleashed in my life. They said a complaining woman is like dripping water. I'm just quoting Proverbs, Sam. I'm thankful we don't know anything about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. None of the men in this house know anything about it. But it said it's better, you know, it's like a dripping water. And so it's like, you know, that's unleashing this witchcraft. And you say, hey, listen, I understand you're disappointed, but why don't you own it? And stop unleashing it on me. So we began rebuking this from a place of repentance, rebuking the accusation in the second heaven from the third heaven. That's not important. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to just release a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of thankfulness. Sometimes when you're just like, man, nothing's going right, you just begin to meditate. You know how hard it is to meditate on what's going right when things are going wrong? Right? Like when Ron's retainer got run over, it's probably hard for him to meditate on the goodness. It was a gloomy day that day. He was a gloomy Gus, he said. I just was rejoicing he wasn't wearing it when they got run over. Thank you, Jesus, that you spared. Listen, you know how hard it is when you're upset and mad and bitter and complaining and, you know, sucking worms. Oh, God, why aren't you helping me out? I gave you my life, or most of it, some of it, and you don't help me out. You know, just like, it's hard then to say, man, I thank you, Jesus, I'm not backslidden like I was. It's hard. Why? Because the enemy gets in the midst of that. So what we're going to do is we're going to briefly share a couple testimonies, and here's what I want you to do. You get what you honor. So there's going to be parts of these testimonies that are like, man, I need that breakthrough. Just receive it with gladness. Then you can get in on the same. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then we're going to switch up. We're going to do something you've never seen before. A short church service here. No. We're going to do something. We're going to begin to thank God for everything good in this house that God has done for you. I'll talk more about that in a moment. If I can have a micro, can you hand me a microphone here? If Corey, can you just bring that on over here, if you would? Now, see, that's what I need. Are you good? Are you okay? We're gonna lose some things this morning. We're gonna release a spirit of gratitude in your life. We're gonna release a spirit of gratitude, and as we release a spirit of gratitude, things are gonna change. Are you gonna be up here? Or are you gonna stay down there? What's your plan? You gonna be up here? Okay.
Check.
Denise Davis here is our Revival Life Kids Junior Director. And she's going to share a little bit right now.
Right now. Okay. my testimony in this house is probably a little bit different from everybody else who came here because I was saved. My salvation experience was before I got here.
Can you hear her out there?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Does she need to be louder or is she good? See, a little louder. Go ahead. A little louder. Not too much. Go ahead.
So when I came to the church a little over 4 years ago, I had been walking with God for about 30 years, but I didn't get saved here, but I got saved here because coming into this ministry, at the point that I came into the ministry, my life was stagnant, and I couldn't figure out how to get past being stagnant. And I couldn't figure out how to get past that wall from being hurt and offended from other churches, from other Christian people. And I couldn't get it off. And coming here, I was able to learn how to release that and how to release the love that God had for me and to other people.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory.
And in God's humor, He then placed me in a position of leadership. And when you're placed in a position of leadership, you have to accept responsibility for your own walk with God. And people are watching you then. Because I wanted to come in and sit in the back of the church and be able to just come and receive and go and nobody notice that I was even around. But when you're in leadership, you have to be in leadership. And you have to, like I said, accept responsibility. And it just made me go into a place where I learned about giving out grace. I learned that discipline is not punishment.
Thank you, Jesus.
and the love of God was able to overtake my heart. I learned how to release my own natural children into the gifting and the callings that God had for their life.
Learning.
Yes.
Present participle.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with that. And that's it.
You good?
I'm good.
And I give glory to God.
Hallelujah. And I give glory to God for that.
Stretch your hands to Denise, everybody. Fire the Holy Ghost right there.
Here, Sam.
Sam Reynoso, everybody. Isaac, bring up the tissue, would you please?
Right next to Kevin's feet.
You guys okay? Give it to Mom.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Before becoming a part of Revival Life Church, I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about Jesus. I even knew a little bit about the Holy Ghost, but I didn't know either of them. So I came into this house with a lot of head knowledge, but nothing here, an empty heart. But Pastor and Pastora saw the promise as the heads of the house at that time. This was back. I mean, starting from their living room, they saw the promise. In each and every one of you, they see the promise that God has for you. And
my wife used to send you cookies to Orlando. Remember that? When you were in college, she mailed you cookies to Orlando. She's like, stop backsliding. I'm sorry.
That's the love, and that's what's been instilled. If you've been part of the house for any amount of time, you know that. And you learn to honor the promise and the Christ that's in everyone else. You know, yesterday I was at Mikey's house, and I just said, I was like, I can't be around a group of you guys without getting whacked by the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. I'm there, and like I just honor the Christ that's in each and every one of you, because I'm there, and I just start getting rocked. I'm like, where's you sitting here? Haven't even done anything yet, and I'm getting blasted. So, with that said, I've come to from a place of a lot of head knowledge, a lot of head knowledge that just led to judging others and walking like, you know, I don't stink or anything, to wanting to mimic that culture that's in this house, to wanting to be a part of that, you know, like the series that we're in. I am Revival Life. I want to be Revival Life.
Amen.
I want to do that. And you know, I see new people that come into the house. I see people that I fellowship for a long time, and I want to see them come into everything that God has for them. I learned that I don't have to be satisfied with the small things. I learned that,
wow, that's good.
I could dream bigger, and I don't have to be ashamed of that, that I can actually believe that God has more in store for me. And not for nothing, you know, I give to the house, and my finances have been blessed the entire time I've been a part of this house.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I was a cabana boy at the Boca Resort, and now I'm working in a place where people come into my office. I have, you know, people that, you know, million-dollar businesses calling me, asking me to, you know, run numbers for them and do stuff. And you know, where the gifts that God has given me, you know, I'm in a job where those things are valued, and that's from starting at the point where I wasn't yelling at God, being upset. Oh, you know, why do I have to be at work 6 a.m. clean a stupid pool? I'm like, no, you know, God, this is my job. Put worship music in my headphones, scrub in the pool, and just do what I do. Well, that doesn't mean that I stayed there, and I was there for a hot minute.
Through the summer,
it was hot.
Falling in, phones going bad, right?
Yeah, there was a lot. But I'm here where I am now, and I know that that's not where Christ has me settled either. You know, the promise that the Lord has for me.
Come on.
You know, being part of this house, you know, I'm married now, so I have my ministry partner to.
Amen.
I'm whole, and I'm closer to what God has in store for me.
Now let me share something real quick. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. What he does is who he is. And when we release it into the atmosphere, you can receive it. You're like, give me a prophetic word. Well, you just found out that Jesus Christ gives good jobs to people.
Amen.
I stayed faithful to my job and God gave me a better job. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of prophecy on your life right now. How are you going to receive it? This is what we're talking about. Are you going to receive it with gratitude, or are you just going, oh, good for Sam? Or is that who Jesus is to you? Denise came in talking about, I have been hurt by church, blah, blah, blah. I've had my walls up. But Jesus Christ healed that, and now I'm a useful part of a ministry. Is that who you want to be? You need to receive it, because she's prophesying that over you right now. Come on, you get to receive any of this you want. Hallelujah. He's talking about, I was single, had a bad job. Now I got a good job, and I'm married. Who wants to receive some of that? Say, yes, that's who Jesus is. I celebrate that. I'm receiving it into my life.
I give God all the glory for that.
Bam! Right there. Grab the cord. Fire the Holy Ghost right there. Have a seat right behind you. Denise wanted to add something for some reason there. Go ahead. She loves the microphone. Go ahead.
No, I just, because of what Sam said, I just wanted to add that when I first came here, I was working at FAU, and I was trying to get a different job, and I was going to school. And because I was here and placed in trusted with a leadership position and was over some volunteers, that helped me move into my new, well, it's not new anymore, it's like over 2 years old, but into my position where I now manage 37 volunteers. And it's because when I interviewed, they said it was because of what I did here that they trusted me to the job that I'm
Come doing. On. So how many right now believe that the service that you're giving to this house right now is qualifying you for upgrade? Who's receiving that? I serve the house. It qualifies me for upgrade. Come on. Do you want to say now or you want to? Now, wait here. Which one are you going first? Sarah Pagano is, go ahead. If you're not taking care of your non-toddler child, it's because of her right now. You want to give her all the honor and the glory?
No.
In Jesus' name.
When I didn't go to church before I came here, so I didn't know what church was supposed to be like. And, you know, I was scared the first time I was here. The first couple times I was here, I hid in the bathroom a couple times. But,
Listen, we had Pastor Pedro here the second time she came, and it freaked her out. When he's standing on the chair screaming, she's like, I have to go to the bathroom now and not come out. Who was in there with you?
Corey's mom.
Corey's mom was hiding in there with her. Like, I don't know. This doesn't look like Spanish River. I don't know what's happening. Go ahead.
But before I came...
Now your husband stands on chairs and screens. That's pretty funny. He's a funny God.
That's true.
He's like, I want to be Pastor Pedro. Corey never found a message he didn't think was better yelling. This is a good revelation, but if I yell it... Go ahead. I love me some Corey Pagano. Go ahead.
So before I came to church, I didn't feel like I fit very well in any group of people. You know, there's cliques everywhere, but, I didn't really feel like I was part of a family. I mean, my parents they're wonderful, but you know, when you feel like, I don't know, like you're missing something. And, coming into this house and this church, I couldn't imagine not being here at this point in my life right now. You know, going back and thinking about it, I'm a part of a family that really loves me, that really brings out the best in me, brings out the gifts in me, you know, not just our pastors, but, you know, like Sam was talking about, I think it was Sam, everybody, you know, calls out the gift in people and tries to see, you know, go to, you know, that potential that God has for you. And being a part of that and being a part of leadership has just blessed me and my husband more than I could ever have thought. You know, I never once thought that I'd be a leader of anything because I was shy and timid and I didn't want to, you know, but that wasn't who God called me to be.
Amen.
You know, that's not, I've seen it, you know, I've seen who I'm going to be and who I'm, you know, becoming and who I am right now is not that shy, timid, you know, freshman in college that came here, you know, and it just blessed me. I can't believe how I used to be. And then I look at myself now, I'm like, what, who was, that was not me, you know? And this, being a part of this house, I feel like I've just been able to come into my identity, you know, come into who God has called me and who I am in Christ and who I am, you know, as a daughter in the house and a friend to a lot of people and a wife too.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Before you got here, were you prophesying?
No.
How did that happen?
How did prophesying happen? Is that your question? I think it was a couple months after I started coming. We had the second ASD, the prophetic class. And I felt like God just rained that prophetic gift on me during that class. And it's just increased. And for me, thinking of myself as someone speaking in authority or speaking like right now or anything, like talking into people's, you know, speaking to their destinies or speaking to, you know, giving someone a word of encouragement or whatever it may look like. I don't know. I never thought about that.
You never thought that God would give you something to tell somebody that would be the foundation of their identity.
Yeah. And that was so important for me coming here. Like, that was a big part of my testimony was me receiving identity. And then that's good.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
That's good revelation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible the place in your life that you have the greatest lack, the enemy is stationed there for a reason? Because that's where your greatest giftings lie. The enemy's blocking you from it for a reason. Is it possible, you think, Sarah?
It's possible.
But you came out of that, right?
Yes, I did.
And so you're kind of releasing that under, since it's a testimony of Jesus Christ in your life, that is the spirit of prophecy for them, yes?
Yes.
Why don't you look at them and tell them that?
Yes, that is.
That they can come into their identity.
Yes, you can come into your identity.
Why don't you speak that with authority right now?
Hmm?
Why don't you speak that with authority right now? Without exclamation points or smiley faces. Just go ahead and release it. Don't pray. Whoa. Speak.
I release identity over every single person in this place right now. Whoa. I release the identity that you have for the people under the sound of my voice, God, right now.
Yeah. Ah.
That you would show them the area that they may be in lack or they feel like the enemy is coming into the most, as it was for me, you know, feeling shy. But I pray that, that people would see it, God. I declare they would see it right now and that you would release vision in that area, Father, that you would show them the identity that you have for them. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Give it up for Sarah Pagano.
Fire the Holy Ghost right there.
Corey Pagano, everybody.
Oh, hallelujah. Wow. This church is amazing, amen? You know, this isn't the special church, but this is a very special church. And who God is here. And, you know, I came here a completely different person. And I'm not just talking about my weight either.
The fullness of the Lord.
The fullness of the Lord. No,
I first eating of the fat of the land, you and I are.
I first came here. It was about 4 years ago, and man, I was 19 years old. I was a young man, afraid of the world. I was afraid. I was running. The only plan I had in my life was, you know, I was going to college at the time. I was going to FAU. But the only real plan I had in my life was to eventually move away from this city, move away from the people I knew, go to some island somewhere, build a shack and surf. Cause I just didn't want anything. I didn't want reality. I didn't want who I was. I was afraid of it. I grew up in church, and I had been through some rough stuff. And when I walked through the doors in this house, I believed that I had done too much bad for God to ever take me back. The condemnation in my life, my heart was so hard that there was nothing. I just believed that I was, you know, I had to ride out my days here until hell, because I knew God. You know, and I knew what saved looked like, and I wasn't it. And when the first time I came here, it was February 7, 2010, Pastor Carl preached a message, and it just cut right to the core of me. He spoke about, you know, hardening your heart to the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and turning from the old man to the new man, and just it was. He spoke about, you know, the prodigal son coming home and the orphan spirit coming off, and believing that, you know, you weren't too far gone. It wasn't too late. You could still come home. And that message changed my life. Hallelujah. I didn't come here and encounter a man. I came here and encountered Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I came here and encountered the resurrected King, the living God, the Lord of Lords. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the great I Am. That's who I met here at, not here, but in this church. I met him. That's the anointing that this house carries. They impart encounters to people. I received an encounter, and I met him. And I was never the same again. Never, ever the same again. That scared boy that was running from God, I turned around. I made a 360 and said, I'm never run from you again. I'll run to you, because now I know the truth, that you're a loving God who loves me, who cares about me, who died for me. The Father sent you. And this, it was conversion, right? It was conversion. And God had grafted me into family. God engrafted me into family who, you know, I mean, I had friends. I would like to think before I came here I was a liked guy, but it's nothing compared to what true family looks like, what true relationship looks like, what it looks like to be a brother and a sister in the family of God, to honor people and look at the gift and just call it out. And that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. This house releases people who change people's lives. Change people, amen? Amen. I was a scared little boy working at a sub shop, and Natalia Pereira, she got bold and said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" Before I ever came here, it was a week before I came here, she got bold and said, "Hey, can I pray for you? She prayed for me, and something happened on the inside of me. Why? Because she carries what this house carries. You carry what this house carries. You carry what the world needs. You carry what the world needs. The world is going to feel the effects of what has happening here, of what God's doing in your life. And she prayed for me, and something happened on the inside of me, and I changed forever when I came here. I changed forever. I mean, Sarah and I were dating, and 4 months after coming here, I had my first meeting ever with my spiritual father, Pastor Carl. My first meeting ever, an angel visited me and said, "Get married." Encounters with the living God that change your destiny. That's what this house is. Encounters with the living God that change your destiny. 8 months later, I got married.
Hallelujah.
I came here, I got a good job. Like I said, I was working at a sub shop. 2 months after coming here, I started working at a bank. When my only experience was a sub shop. How does that happen? Other than the grace of God. Come on, who here has a testimony about the goodness of God giving you a new job, a better job, increasing your finances, increasing just the favor on your life? That's what this house is. That is the anointing. That's who God is in this house. That is who he is.
So here's what I'd like you to do. There's people right now, you kept using the word conversion. They've not been converted. And so I don't want you to, we're not going to have an altar call per se. Come on. But what I want you to do is just kind of release that. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ right here. So that prophecy. So, you know, you play around with God, but you don't necessarily can't say I've been converted. The fact that somebody asking if you've been converted kind of offends you, because you think, I didn't need to be converted. You heard my testimony. That was my testimony before I got converted. So make sure you turn him down a lot. And why don't you just real quick, just release that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your sons and daughters home. We declare your healing power, your revelation, the revelation of who you are over their life, that you would convert them, that you would engraft them into family. Father, I just pray that people who have just, they've been afraid to give you everything. They've been afraid to meet you face to face. I command that fear to come off right now in Jesus' name. And we release the power of God to save souls right now. Your resurrection power in this room, your resurrection power over the lives of your people this morning.
We release salvation.
Yeah.
We release it. Go ahead.
We release it in Jesus' name.
Encounters.
An encounter with you.
Not quite that much. Go ahead.
I thank you that you have an encounter for every person in this room this morning.
Amen.
We release salvation right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Here's what we're going to do now. You're going to go from strings to playing a little bit, and now you're going to turn him up a little bit. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to get involved in releasing a spirit of gratitude. Does anybody feel encouraged by the testimonies here? Listen. Sometimes in life, we feel kind of run down, right? When we're feeling run down, don't hang out with run down people. Don't hang out with run down people when you're feeling run down. I know it makes you feel like you don't stick out. Now I'm, you know, like everybody. No, you need to hang out with people who aren't run down so you can get some of that on you. You don't need to commiserate with other losers. Did I say them? Yeah, I said that. So we're going to transition. We're going to release gratitude over every area of this house so it can multiply. Right? Amen? Amen? You guys can stay laying down because you're encountering. You guys can go down if you'd like because we're going to have some people come. Can you share? Do you want to share something before we go on? They're like, I'm happy. Too bad.
I just want to share how I've been blessed as being part of Revival Life Church. I've been here since the beginning in my living room. And but I have never been such a part of such a wonderful family, a community of believers. And there's so many things I love about this. I feel like family with people in this room. I feel so close to people in this room. But also I feel I'm so blessed by how iron sharpens iron in this group of people, that there's so many people hungering and running after God, that it encourages you to not get tired, to not get complacent. As Denise shared, she's been walking with God for many years. And when you see people just running after God, you're like, whoa, I gotta run too. Let me keep running. And we challenge each other. I see God just, people that have been saved for a couple of days prophesying, having visions, and it makes you hunger for more and hunger for more.
Winning the lost.
Oh, yeah. And I am just so blessed by how iron sharpens our iron in this house. And I feel very honored to serve among people who are serving God and are reaching out into the community and picking up those that are down and bringing them in and saying, come be a part of our family. I hear time after time when people come here, they feel so welcome because we're just family welcoming and people to receive. We've been given so much and we have so much to share. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a group of people who give. And draw people in. So I love this community. I love this family.
Amen. 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 So right now, I break a spirit of accusation off your life in the name of Jesus. That demon spirit that wants you to agree with hell, I break it off your life right now. I declare the blood of Jesus. I break it off your life right now. I break it off your life right now. Stand to your feet if you would. We're gonna thank God for some things, and then we're going to receive the table of the Lord. So I get some ushers to move the tables. We're just gonna honor God in some areas. Amen? 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 Pick it up a little bit if you would. Lucas, are you feeling nimble right now? Can you drum a little bit for me? You can tell when the anointing's flowing in worship because Lucas is louder than everybody. You're like, oh, the Holy Ghost is flowing right now. You ready? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to, some of you are going to come, and especially leaders, but I, you know, whoever. We're going to begin thanking God for every area of this house. Thank you, Kevin. Amen? We're going to be thankful for what God has done in this house. Amen? Yes? You're like, what does that mean, Pastor? We're going to open up some areas. You're going to come down. You're going to thank God for these areas in the house. Amen? It's easy to say, oh, I appreciate the music. I appreciate, you know, the air conditioning. But we're gonna thank God for every area of this house, all right? So pray in the Holy Ghost, and then we're gonna have communion in a moment. Listen, has anybody been blessed by the worship of this house? I need two people to come right now, and I'll thank, but I need two people to come forward right now who could thank God for that. We can just come and pray and thank God for the worship in this house. Here's one. Anybody else? Father, I thank you right now for the worship in this house. I thank you. Come on, begin to thank him. We thank him for the musicians. We thank you for the sound system. We thank you for your spirit that comes upon them. Begin to thank him. We thank you for the worship that we that the worship leaders of this house follow you, that they are led by the Spirit, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for the worship that ushers in your presence that just sometimes helps people get through the week, Lord. That helps break everything off that you've been suffering through, that you've been dealing with through the week. And I just thank you, Lord, that your presence is always so sweet. Your presence is always just so, so loving and just in just in.
I need one more worship lover to come up.
Father, I thank you for the worship of this house that first made me feel your presence.
Come on, lift it up.
I thank you for the worship that converted my heart to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the worship that empowers people in this area, Lord Jesus. I thank you that through the worship in this house, Father, that you speak to lives and you speak visions and you speak identities upon people in this house, Father, including me, Lord Jesus.
I need three people for children's ministry.
Through the worship of this house, Lord Jesus.
Three people for children's ministry. Keep going.
Wow, that now my desire is to worship
for
you in song, Father. And I have a great desire
ministry.
To worship you through song, Lord Jesus.
One more person who's thankful for the children's ministry. I need
Father,
you to
I thank you that through worship, Lord Jesus, you have given me open visions of heaven, Father. That I can see your glory, Lord.
Fire the Holy Ghost.
Father, I thank you for the boys and girls and children's ministry that are going to grow up to be men and women of God. The world changers that you're instilling the foundations of truth in their lives. That they're getting the faith, the foundation of faith in their hearts right now. That they're going to go to schools and start miracles, create revival. Even in elementary school, that they're going to go speak your truth. That you are the one true God. And have it backed up with miracles in your glory, Jesus.
Father, I thank you that the children can come and encounter your love in that room, Jesus. I thank you that your presence is there and there's angels in that room, Jesus. I thank you that the children are able to see visions, God. I thank
come
you
on, lift it up. We're thankful for the
voice,
we're thankful
Jesus.
For Revival Kids.
I thank you, Jesus,
I'm
that
thank you
would,
for Revival
that you would
Kids
use
Junior.
Me, God, to minister to those children, Father. I thank you, Jesus.
I need some thankful people for the greeters who show up early, make a nice area out there. People are thankful for that you got here and you saw a happy face when you came here for the first time. Who here will say, man, I didn't know anybody and some greeters came and greeted me. Come on, give glory to God. You need to get in line right now.
Father, thank you for a safe place for my children to be in, Lord. Lord, I thank you that the first time I came here, this was the only place I've ever put my child in. Kids ministry, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there's just a safe feeling putting your kid in there, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you that my daughter has encountered you in that room, Lord. I thank you that my children are growing, knowing you in this place, Lord. I thank you that this is a safe and loving atmosphere for the children, Lord. I thank you that the workers, Lord, genuinely love and care about the children in there.
Amen.
Father, I thank you.
Amen. Listen, anybody heard of a sacrifice of praise? A sacrifice of praise when you don't feel like it. But you give a sacrifice, and then you get breakthrough because of it. I need an usher. I need an usher to help me out here. An usher, anytime now, an usher. Fail. I'm thankful that one day an usher will come up when they see that. Hallelujah. Robin, oh, this is a good back-to-back right here.
That there were people that welcomed me here and made me feel like I belong somewhere
thank
for
you,
the
Jesus.
First time.
Thank you for the greeters. Thank you, Jesus. I need some usher thankfulness to come on up.
God, thank you for a place
usher
where I found my identity.
We're thankful there's order in the
I
service.
I got settled in a family that loves me, that promotes the God things in me.
Who's next? There's fire on the stage. You guys think I'm making that up, but I'm really not.
Jesus, I thank you, Lord.
because you placed in leadership.
There's blessings in the Thanksgiving.
I thank you because I've seen visions of what the greeter teams does and what the people that are outside, what they're doing, that are breaking down walls, that people can come in and receive from you, Jesus.
Turn the keys down a little
bit. I thank you, Jesus, because of the friendliness and the love that overflows from them, Jesus. I see it, Lord. I see chains falling, Jesus, that people are walking in. And that the welcoming, I see it, Jesus, that the welcoming just gets people ready to receive inside. Jesus, I thank you because I see angels outside that are standing in the places with the greeters, Lord. I thank you that chains are falling even outside before people walk in, and they're walking into freedom in this place, Lord. I thank you because you're preparing a place of your presence outside of these doors. Amen. I thank you for your rivers in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Where are you at?
Father, I just thank you for the greeters ministry, God. I thank you that the first time I came to this church, I had walls up and the greeter hugged me and said, welcome, God. I thank you that before I walked into church, it was another greeter to hug me and say, welcome. God, I thank you for the love in this house, God. I thank you for the family atmosphere in this house that says you are valuable, that says you're a part of this house, and we love you. We
Jesus, I want to say thank you for the house and pastor. Even I don't speak English, he trusts in my call. He trusts in my gift. Thank you, Jesus, for this house. I haven't been grew up a lot, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for this house, Lord. Along with everyone else here, we thank you for this. This is a good house, Father God. This is a good house. And I'm thankful for the pastors. I'm thankful for my spiritual father. I receive him as my spiritual father. And I receive her as my spiritual mother. For once I can say I have them now. I receive them. They receive me. They chose me. They love me. And they accepted me. And I'm thankful for this house. This house. This house, I thank you, Lord, for the building that's coming. We will have our own building, Lord, because you are here. You are here. And you call us to our own place, our very own building. It's in the tides. We say it every Sunday, and I thank you. It's coming to pass. I speak that. I release that. Receive that. It is done. It is finished. In his name, thank you, Lord. I thank you. I give you glory for that. In your name.
Amen.
In your name. In your name.
Shut your hand.
Fire, Holy Ghost. Fire, Holy Ghost. Burning in the Holy Ghost. Fire, Holy Ghost.
Lord, I stand here today before all of you just to give thanks for the usher ministry. I'm a part of the usher ministry. I've never been a part of any church before here, before this church. And I'm very thankful for the usher ministry that has transformed my life.
Thank you. We bless you.
Woo. Spirit of counsel. Has anybody received counsel from leaders in this church? And you're thankful for a spirit of counsel that helped change your life. Go ahead.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the spirit of counsel in this house. I thank you, Father God, for the spirit of revelation and of wisdom, Lord Jesus, that can speak into a life, Father God, and change the course of a destiny, Lord, that can save lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the wisdom, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the personal counsel I receive, Lord Jesus, time and time again, Father. That always spoke into my life and told me never to settle for what's down here, Lord. And always for reaching for the best of what you have for me, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for that counsel, Lord Jesus, that spoke identity into my life. I thank you, Father God, that for that counsel that speaks identity in the lives of the people of this house. That challenges you to get something more for something what God has for you.
Listen, if you're thankful that people show up here on Friday night to set up, I need you to come on up here and get in line. I need two people to be thankful for the setup team. If you ain't come up, like, it's a sacrifice of praise. Just come on over and get in line.
Lord God, I just thank you that you brought me here, God, that you brought people into my life, God, to tell me that I'm worth more than what I thought I was. Who can see the gift in me and draw it out and see that I was better than who I thought I was when I got here? Who would live life with me? I thank you, Jesus, that I have people that live life with me. And can counsel me through anything, that I can be free, God, that I can just be free to be honest and be free to be who I am. And they won't judge me, God. I thank you, God, for the pastors of this house, for the spiritual parents that you've given all of us, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Go stand over by Mike.
Our leaders and all those that step up and give
come on, we're
time
thankful for the setup team, Jesus.
And give up
faithful
their time
on Friday nights.
Yes, that are faithful and that give up their time, and our truth seekers, and that give weak believers faith in you and continue to bless us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each and every part of the body, Father, that you've let us come together, Father. I thank you for making this a house that welcomes each and every person. Even, Father, if you're away from you, God, that we just take you in, Father, that we embrace you, Father. I thank you for all of us being used in this house, Father. I thank you for changing us, Father, without even words being spoken, just by coming into your presence, Father. I thank you for releasing heaven in each and every building, whether it's in a school, in a hotel, Father. I thank you for coming through, Father. I thank you for being real, Father. I thank you for your words coming to life in our lives, Father. I thank you for changing us and molding us, Father. I thank you for each part of this body, Father. I thank you for those who do things, Father, without even getting the glory,
Come on, lift your
Father,
voices.
Just knowing that you are giving the glory, Father. I thank you for your blessings, Father, and I
yes.
thank you for all of us, Father, in your name.
Thankful, Jesus. Final! If you're thankful for the preached word of this house, I need you to come up. I need a couple people to be thankful for the preached word and the revelation that comes. I need a couple people thankful for the preached word, God, in this house. Anybody thankful for the preached word? Sam talked twice, but he'll talk again. He don't care. Go ahead.
Father God, I thank you that from this stage that the righteousness is preached, Father God. I thank you that the people who come in here get direction and they're told that Christianity is the real deal, that they're not allowed to just go between the world and between the church, Father. I thank you that truth is stood on, Lord, and that is proclaimed. I thank you that there's not a letting down because of what man would like to hear, Father. And I just
come on,
I thank you, God, for those that have been blessed through the preaching in this house.
Amen. Father, thank you for the revelation that's preached in this house, Father. I thank you for the pure doctrine that's preached in this house, God. I thank you for the clean theology, God. I thank you for the words come to life in our lives, God. I thank you for the sermon that's preached that pierces the heart and changes your life forever.
I thank you, Holy Ghost,
for the revelation.
I thank you, Holy Spirit,
for the breakthrough through the preaching of the word of the gospel. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for the power.
Lord, I thank you for the word that's preached in this house. I thank you for that steak and potatoes that feeds my soul. Lord, I thank you for the word that broke down all those ugly religious barriers I had in my heart that I had built up that prevented me from seeing you for who you truly are. I just thank you for your truth, Lord, that comes from the pulpit every Sunday morning without abandon, without fear, that just gets spoken.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that pastor will pause and listen to the Holy Ghost rather than what he has already previously prepared. No matter how intimidating that might be, I thank you, Holy Ghost.
Father, I just thank you for our life groups, especially the women life group, where we all can come together and just be intimate with and share what we've been.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for life groups. I thank you for the people that opened their house there. I thank you because it's a safe place to encounter you, Jesus. I thank you because there we can work things out together in family, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for the life group leaders, Father God. I thank you for especially Mimi and Vince, Father God.
What do you mean especially Mimi and Vince?
Encouragement.
What in the world?
She encouraged us.
I'm leading a life group.
She truly encouraged me to join in. So I thank you, Lord, for all of them in Jesus' name.
Mimi and fire the Holy Ghost right there, Jesus. Stretch your hands. If you just have a baby, you need a little filled sometimes. You get a little dry when you have a baby. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have a young baby, you get a little dry. Ready on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. Ushers, if you can get the fire the Holy Ghost. Go on. We're going to receive communion in a spirit of thankfulness. There it is right there. There it is right there. There it is right there. Who's ready to receive the table of the Lord? Who's thankful that he died on a cross? That his body was broken so that you could be made whole? Who's thankful that his blood was spilled out so that you could be free? Come on! Who's thankful? Wow, I don't even know how we do this in the midst of this anointing. Is Diane in the room? Diane, go on over there with Corey if you would. We'll go on over here. Okay. Actually, go over there with Ron. Turn off this mic if you would. It's on. People are all on it. It's not going to go anywhere. Fire right there! Fire right there! Fire! All right. I'm going to grab my Bible. You guys ready? You still here? If you're still here, you must love Jesus. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it." Here, turn the music down a little bit. "When he had given thanks, he broke it." I'm going to start again. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" There then is a warning that says, listen, you can't be judging other people and receive the body. So here's what you're going to do. Just get your heart right. We practice an open table. If you've received Christ as Savior, come and commune with us. There's only one body. If you're saying, "I can only do it with my church," what you're saying is you're not part of the body of Christ. Your church is not the body. The body is the body. Our church is a member of the body. So we all can do it together. If you only do church, you only do communion with a certain group of people, you shouldn't do communion at all. Because the warning there says that you don't recognize the rest of the body and people die prematurely because of that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So, but you know, if you're saved, you gave your life to Christ, we want you to come and receive communion with us. And so in accordance with Scripture, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this body broken for us. Whoa! We thank you, Lord, for the cup of the new covenant, your blood that was poured out for us, this fruit of the vine, that you would transform it by our faith. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, how we love your name, Jesus. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to receive. You're going to come up and receive the elements. Go back to your chair and just get two or three people. Nobody take it by yourself, but get three, four people and receive it together. Just on your own. I'm not going to direct you. Here at the end of the service, we're just going to receive communion together. Amen? So, Father, I pray that you would rest upon these elements. Come in front of the tables, guys. I pray that you would rest upon these elements. Come down the aisles to receive and then go on the outside to kind of go back to your chairs. There you go. You just receive the elements with a couple people back, maybe with family.